very good morning to you. Welcome on into today's programme. Quite a few comments coming in. We'll try and give you those. And there's one extensive one in relation to the new junction at the Galway Clinic there. There were 12 minutes waiting to get a right-hand turn to get over the weekend. So if you leave that comment with me, we'll just have to go through it yet again. Now, the Irish government must seriously consider the strike action, which we referred to when we were speaking to Micheál Martin earlier on, because it affects disabled people and their quality of life without the supports that they have. This strike, which the government caused, will disrupt and may significantly worsen the lives of disabled people because they cannot access the support they so desperately need in their daily lives. And this could all be avoided if the government only listened to the unions. They're the words of Emma Ward from Athenry. And before coming on air this morning, I caught up with Emma Ward as she was making her way to college today. And I asked her, how would the personal assistance strike impact on her life?
Yeah, Keith, tomorrow there's loads of organisations striking, and I'm affected by the IWA strike because I have a PA once a week. And without that support, I'm essentially losing my independence, which is not fair.
And again, this is down to pay and conditions, and it's right across the country as well. But your story is unique. You need help all the time.
Yeah, I need help. Let me just put it, I have a brilliant family. They would help me in everything. But I love my independence. I'm a very independent person. So I have my PA once a week. You met her before. Yeah. She came with me into studio with you. And I like having that independence because I don't like to rely on anyone. So I am being affected in a big way.
And you're trying to stop this, you said to me earlier this morning. So how are you going to try and stop this happening right across the country?
I am trying on social media, sharing. I wrote a thing for a Galway advertiser talking about how this will affect me. And I'm constantly sharing things that other disability activists are posting and trying to get the attention of the Irish government, Leo Varadkar and Anne Rabbit and all them people that make the decisions. So that's how I'm trying.
So take me through how this will affect you now tomorrow.
So when this strike happens, it's indefinite, so we don't know when it's going to stop. And I, as you know, I'm an Irish traveller activist and a disability activist, and I'm a journalist, or at least I like to call myself one. And I do get amazing opportunities, and for most of them, I like to have my PA support instead of my family because, again, I like being independent. Mm. And without that PA support, I might not be able to accept any more opportunities until the strike ends. Like, I'll tell you another thing. I was offered a trip up to RTE on Wednesday, and due to not having my PA, I have had to decline it.
But the situation is, like every other strike out there, it's going to be resolved at some stage. So why not resolve it before it starts? And I know the talking is ongoing from there. I know Anne Rabbit is doing what she can, and she's in your jurisdiction, and she's a minister indeed covering the Athenry area. So she's trying to do what she can from there. But there's so many moving parts in this that it's difficult to get all parties around the table. But it's the likes of you and thousands of others that life is going to change until this is sorted.
Yeah, Yes, I'm going to struggle without this, but I'm not really thinking about myself right now. I'm thinking about the people that rely on the services daily to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. They will struggle daily until those services are put back in place for them. And that's not fair on them. They don't deserve that worry and stress that this strike will certainly bring.
So really, effectively, your life goes on hold because your family are excellent, and we know that. But your independence, because of the PA that you have, and she has to do what she has to do as well. So you're losing your independence. Your family are there to support you. That's great. But the independent aspect of your life, that you can go where you want, when you want, with your PA, that's been taken from you.
Yeah, it's going to be gone. And I know why she has to strike. It's not fair that they're not getting the fair amount of money. They deserve it, to say at least, because they give invaluable support to all the service users. I've only had her for just over a year, and my confidence in myself, in my private life and my professional life, has just gone. I've really, really grown in this year because she's helped me gain that confidence, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And she doesn't want to strike, and her colleagues don't want to strike, and nobody wants to strike.
They're feeling awfully guilty, but me, as my own person, my own opinion, I understand why they have to do it. They have no choice but to strike in order to get the funds that they need to keep providing those services.
Mm-hmm. So the appeal this morning then to each and every person listening to us is to get around the table and try and avert this strike as soon as possible.
Yeah, because if this strike happens, there's going to be awful consequences. There's going to be people, like I just said a minute ago, that are going to suffer without those services until the strike ends.
Emma, we'll put calls out for you. We'll keep in contact with you, but thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Keith. Lovely talking to you.
Now, that was Emma Ward. I spoke to her before coming on air this morning. I want to go now, though, to Eileen Gormley, who joins me on the line today. Eileen, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith, and thank you for having me on.
Good to talk to you again. Thank you, indeed, for joining us. I mean, we had the Taoiseach on in the first hour of the programme. He hopes this will be averted. How will this impact you, can I ask you, Eileen?
Well, a bit like your previous caller said, and by the way, she was absolutely very, very, very good. So hats off to her. But yeah, this will really impact me an awful lot because not only am I physically disabled, but I'm also visually impaired as well. So I really need my PAs for day-to-day living. As I said, because I have muscular dystrophy, it takes me a little while to get out of bed in the morning because, you know, your muscles stiffen up.
God love you. God love you. While Eileen is catching her breath there, Eileen has written a poem, so she has, and John Morley is going to join me. John, you have the poem there.
I have the poem here, yeah. It's called A Week to the Day by Eileen Gormley, and I will read it for her. On Tuesday the 17th of October 2023, a week after Budget 24, this is not a new thing. We have been here so many times before. The threat of strike action was looming, but it's no longer a threat. Carers and personal assistants have to go on the picket line, so the date is set. They don't want to do this, but feel they have no choice. It's like government aren't listening when they project their voice. This is an important issue. Don't let the matter drop. Why does this have to happen again? When will it ever stop? Not only affecting carers and assistants, but people with disabilities too, and others who need this vital service, just like me and you. Everyone is feeling this pinch on the rising cost of living, but when it comes to carers getting their pay rise, there seems to be no giving. This is not just professionally, but affects their personal lives. Times of struggle and turmoil for husbands and for wives. It would be respectful if government listened, but more so if they act. We are all losing out because of this, and that is a real fact. Take this issue seriously. Think and concentrate. Please don't take your eyes off the ball. Please don't procrastinate. Help them to help us with immediate effect so we can live our life. This hurts, upsets and disrespects us all, so stop twisting the knife. It's very difficult to have faith in you, so to regain our trust, so give them their pay rise like they deserve so that they can earn their crust. Do the right thing, it's only fair, and stop theirs and ours anxiety. We are all citizens of this country. We all belong to society. To deny this pay rise is very wrong, so make sure to get it right. This has been going on for far too long. We don't want to fight. As for me, I use this service and cannot do without. This vital service is my lifeline. That there is no doubt. And that is A Week to the Day by Eileen Gormley.
Eileen, are you still with me? Are you all right now?
I'm still with you. I'm very sorry about that.
Not at all. No, no. It just shows how you have to mind yourself. It's a very strong poem, so it is there.
It is. And, I really wanted to get the point across as well. Funny enough, and thank you, by the way, to John for reading that poem out. I'm visual impaired, as I said, and I hadn't memorized the poem because I had only written it on Saturday. So, as I said, thank you very much to John for reading it out.
No problem. But I mean, the Taoiseach has said on the programme that he hopes, he's confident it will be averted. We've been talking to Anne Rabbit this morning. She's immersed in this and she's en route to Tuam. So we're kind of hoping we'll get something back from there before the end of today's programme. It's been going on, as the Taoiseach said, it's been going on for 10 years. So now we are here. Yeah. We're now in the final hours. Like, we're talking hours at this stage. So, but if it could be averted at this stage, it would be good.
Yeah. I was actually really delighted to hear that the Taoiseach has made the comment that this has happened, that this has been going on for 10 years or more. And I'm delighted that he's actually down in Tuam today. So whether that's coincidental or not, I don't know. I know he's doing other business in Tuam, but it's so great to know that he is in Tuam, and to the Minister for Disabilities as well.
Yeah.
So I hope that she and the Taoiseach can do all they can to avert the strike. But at the minute, it kind of looks like at the 11th hour, as you said, the strike is going ahead, and that's a pity for all involved.
And can I ask you, and again, I'm not being too personal on this one at all, but Eileen Gormley I'm talking to, I mean, will you have adequate help from family and otherwise then during this strike?
I will have a little bit of help. Yeah, I live in Cheshire House in Roscam. So I will have a little bit of help from the staff there. Now, as I said, the strike affects everyone as well, so it would be only minimum help, but I kind of won't be stuck either, but the help will be very, very minimum, that's through no fault of anybody else's, that's just because of the strike, but I won't be left stuck.
No, I mean, there's a great bunch of people there in the Cheshire Homes facility there.
Absolutely.
And they won't leave you. I'm glad of that now, Simon Eileen, because when you started coughing there, I was bothered about you. But again, look, if common sense could prevail on this one, right across the city, the county, and the country on this one, and get the WRC back in again, get the unions back in again, just agree to it. Because so many people are going to be discommoded because of this and today.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Tonight rather,
well,
yeah.
Well, as your previous caller said, I'm not just thinking about, like even though this affects me, I'm not just thinking of me, I'm just thinking of all my peers that may be in, that may not have the staff. Like, as I said, I have the Cheshire staff. Even though, as I said, it'll be minimal assistance because this affects them as well. But I'm thinking of my peers that have no one and no family that are local and can't come over to assist their loved one. So I'm thinking of them as well as myself. So, yeah, this is going to affect us all.
All right, Eileen, you mind yourself for the rest of the day. Do you hear me?
Mind
that cough as well. But Eileen Gormley, thank you indeed for joining us today on the programme. Yesterday week I had to abandon the attempt to turn right at the Galway Clinic traffic lights and drive around through Oranmore to come back into Galway. It was absolutely ridiculous. And Keith, a massive tailback of traffic. It's just coming into us now, coming into Bushy Park. What is going on? Situation is that there was a serious accident, as you heard on local news this morning, at the Letcher Road and Circular Road junction. There was a serious accident there. The Gardaí have closed the road for investigations. The cyclist in question, the male cyclist in question, has been taken to hospital with serious injuries, but not thought to be life-threatening, as you heard on news from the team there. But the Gardaí are just, they're doing their analysis of what happened this morning. So that means Circular Road is shut off, which means all traffic coming in on the N59 and all traffic coming in from any other area has to come into that junction at the Westwood complex that's there now. And you can turn right to get to the hospital straight ahead. So that's what's causing the traffic. So just bear in mind as well the unfortunate gentleman and all involved in that accident this morning as well. So that's what the problem is. And it's going to continue, I would think, until such time as the Gardaí open that road again. Now, just checking the traffic there. It's backed up to Glenlow Abbey coming into town on the N59, coming all the way in to the junction. Now, once you get through the junction, you can get down into Upper Newcastle. But the problem seems to be the junction. But you can get in, but it's all the way back as far as Glenlow Abbey. I'm just looking at it on the computer here. Past Bush Park Church, Barna Cronin, and all the way back past Kailhens and to Glenlow Abbey there. It's actually beyond the gate of Glenlow Abbey is where it's starting. So again, give yourself time. If you're coming into town, give yourself time today on that. Now, there's a political discussion taking place, and somebody else is correcting me there. I'll deal with that in a minute. There's the Western Rail Trail campaign. They're having a political discussion on this one because a Greenway petition to be considered by all members, a petition for the Greenway on the closed railway line from Athenry to Galway and to Colooney and Sligo will be discussed by the Oireachtas Committee on this coming Thursday, October the 19th. The campaign welcomes recognition that 26,000 voters will finally be listened to by all members. I'm joined on the line by Brendan Quinn, who's a spokesperson for the Western Trail campaign, and he joins me on the line today. Brendan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure.
I mean, what is the significance of it being in the Oireachtas and discussing it in the Oireachtas?
Well, you and I have discussed this before.
Yeah.
One of the biggest issues we have with this campaign has been trying to convince the county councils, particularly Galway and Mayo County Council, to take this idea on board. Sligo County Council have, and they're going to, they're in process of developing the Sligo Greenway with the Department of Transport. Really, the key issue is that it's just giving us a voice at the big boys' table, really. It's taking it up to Dublin and saying, will you please listen to these 26,000 voters? I mean, I want to thank everyone who signed this petition. It's quite astonishing. I think there's about 9,500 people who are resident in Galway who've actually signed this petition. So it's a significant number of voters who actually support this idea. And, you know, as far as our campaign is concerned, I say call it the Western Rail Trail campaign. It covers that area from Athenry through to Colooney. So really for the benefits of listeners to Galway Bay FM, we can focus on the section from Athenry to Milltown, which has lain idle for 40 years, bringing no benefit whatsoever to Athenry, Ballygloon and Tuam and Milltown. I mean, a lot of us think it's an absolute disgrace. And right now, the fear is, and that's the 26,000 voters who signed the petition, and the 3,000 people who marched in Tuam in 2018, and that was an astonishing day. I know it's 5 years ago, but 3,000 people actually got out of their houses on a Sunday afternoon and marched with their children supporting this idea. This line could remain idle now for the next 40 years, and we just can't allow that to happen.
But I mean, there is an ongoing study indeed in relation to the Western Rail Corridor, and it seems to be getting a bit of traction there as well. But that doesn't mean that it can't also be used as a trail.
Well, exactly. But it isn't actually a study. There was a study which showed that this as an idea, it doesn't stand up. But then the latest iteration we've heard is in the Strategic Rail Review that was published, I think it was about 4 or 5 months ago, that said, yes, the Western Rail Corridor could possibly happen. And we actually support the opening of the railway service to a greenway alongside. But right now, there's no indication that we'll have a rail service for at least 10 years. And more likely 20. Now, imagine what a greenway on that line would do for those communities that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
For people's quality of life, for tourism, for the 1,000 people who will be working in Dexcom in Afton Rise soon, thousands who already work in Tume. I mean, people do cycle to work now, and they're trying to encourage it. So it has, this has local implications as well as national Greenway network implications. And the Greenway protects the Lion Keith, it keeps it in public ownership, and we keep saying this. And when and if a rail service comes along, we move the Greenway to one side and reinstate the railway line. It's not rocket science, and in terms of the projected cost of $500 million for the rail line, building a Greenway alongside would represent a tiny addition to the total build cost. Now, but, we also have to recognise the quality of our public finances. The reopening of a rail freight service between Athenry and Claremorris is never going to be a priority, especially there's already a rail freight connection through Athlone and connecting the northwest of our major ports. And 2 weeks ago, a report was presented to the Cabinet pointing out a huge shortfall in our National Development Plan budget. I mean, we're billions short. People are, I don't think they seem to realise that we're billions short of delivering on the National Development Plan. And there's going to be cuts, and there's, you know, road projects aren't going to be delivered. Some rail projects aren't going to be delivered. And in that context, I personally, and I'm sure many of the people, the voters who vote, who signed this petition, won't see the rail line being opened in my lifetime. I mean, we could be talking about this in 10 years' time. 10 years today,
we could.
16th of October 2033, you could have me on the show again talking about this, which would be a great pity. I mean, it's a massive... I'm not joking.
No, I just hope I won't be here in 2033, to be quite honest. There'll be somebody else sitting in this seat.
I'll be pushing daisies up at that stage, buddy.
But go back, though, and we haven't addressed... Why is it being discussed in front of the whole committee, then? I mean, why the need
26,000 voters signing a petition is a pretty important document.
Yeah.
And there's a process in the Dáil for ordinary citizens to sign petitions,
yeah,
bypass maybe local authorities and take their feelings known to the Dáil.
Yeah.
You do it, it's a simple process. You fill a form in, you say, I've got this petition. It's got 26,000 voters who've signed it. Could you please give it consideration?
So you can get a hearing in the Dáil here and then, yeah.
They have a hearing and then they say, well, this is our recommendations. We'll maybe take it to the Minister of Transport. The Minister of Transport will be well aware of us anyway. Or they'll recommend that, and hopefully this would be that it should be recommended for a full-scale debate in the Dáil. That 26,000 people have signed this, or 26,000 voters, as I call them, have signed this petition, and it needs to be talked about. I think it's a great part of our democracy that ordinary folk can sign a petition and submit it, and then it gets considered by a pre-committee,
yeah,
and they say, has this got legs? Has it got credibility? Is it real? And they debate it. I mean, they asked me, you know, how many people have signed this in the counties? I said 9,500, I think is from the figures. So I remember looking at them last night in County Galway who've signed, yeah, it. It's about 4,500 in Mayo and about 3,500 in Sligo. You know, these are voters in those counties, and any political party listening into this show this morning should be saying, hello, there's lots of voters out there who support this idea. I mean, in terms of political support, I know that you've had Kieran Cannon on from Galway East, and you know, we've got to thank Kieran. I'm not making any part of political issues here, by the way. Kieran has been a stalwart supporter of this idea because I think he's a pragmatic man. But, you know, okay, some people have this dream, the Western Rail Corridor is going to open. Well, they need to take a reality check and be pragmatic about this. And the message we want to get across on Thursday to the Dáil members on this committee is that, will you please listen to us? Will you please take this forward? Because we're not being listened to in certain parts of the political genre in the West of Ireland.
All right, Brendan, I have to leave it at that for today. I'm looking forward to watching that on Rockthis TV and see how that pans out from there. But thank you, Dave, for taking
it. Oh, it'd be devastating listening to Rockthis TV on a Thursday morning. I wish you well with that one. But yes, I would encourage people to log in and watch the debate and see what happens and see what political parties oppose it, what political parties support it, what the independents say, what the senators say. It'll be interesting to hear what actual politicians in the Dáil say about this.
All right, Brendan Quinn, spokesperson for the campaign to the Western Rail Trail campaign. Thank you for joining us today. Keith, the accident actually happened at the entrance to Carnard. Traffic coming down from Thunderbrook has been diverted over Circular Road and onto the N59 road down by the Westwood Lights, and the road coming from Glendara Lights are being diverted over Siobhan McKenna Road, and that comes from a Carnard resident. So it's that stretch there really and truly from Carnard down as far as the road that brings you over to the Westside Shopping Centre. that old road area there. That's the second accident there in 12 months, so it is. But we hope all involved in that are okay this morning. Now, let me move on today as well to, I want to go to a Galway native, indeed, Padraig de Burca, who is currently residing, as we know, in Poland. And he joined us during the Ukraine side of things. But he's also looking, indeed, at the polls, which they awoke this morning to the possibility, I know I was corrected by the Thornish Amiel Martin earlier, of a new government after the ruling nationalists looked to have fallen short of a parliamentary majority, potentially opening the way for opposition parties to seize power in what would be a huge shift. And Padraig joins me on the line today. Padraig, good morning. Good to talk to you again.
It's good to hear you. Great to hear you.
What is there any up-to-date situation? It's coming up here currently. We're at 10:36.
It's putting the ruling Peace Party, PIS, it's putting them at 36.6%. But they say the route for them to form a government is closed because Donald Tusk's Platforma Party, he's at 31, but he's going to form a coalition with Polska 2050. It's a new party. They're at about 13.5%. And Lewica, who are at about 8.5-8.6%. But this is just in from our newspaper here, Gazeta Wyborcza. They're the exit polls, but they've started to count the votes, and they've counted about 30% of the votes so far. So we'll get a better picture, I'd say, around 5 o'clock, I'd say, today. But it turns out that about 15% of the people in the exit polls refuse to take part in it. So they think that the government, this political party called Peace, they think that their vote could be even higher than 36%. So it's still on a knife edge here. Now, I know Tusk has, he's claimed victory, but this has a while to run yet. It'll be days, if not weeks, before it's finally decided, Keith.
But if you take it, the Pudsey Ryan maths that I've just done there, if you take the three parties coming together with 31, 13.5 and 8.5, you're looking at roughly 53%, which would give them the majority, and a decent majority of that.
Yeah, that's it. That would give them about 248 votes. I think that's the majority you need. It's a 460-seat parliament. With Peace, they have all the aces in their pack, in their hand at the moment. The president is set to offer them the first chance to make the government. He's aligned with them. So that's one of the big problems here, is that there's no separation of powers. The judiciary as well is all packed with pro-government judges. And they also have the national TV station, TVP, is totally controlled by them. Mm-hmm. They're thinking that if they get this first chance to make the government, they're going to start, pulling rabbits out of the hat. They're going to start negotiating with as many people as possible, and they're going to try and convince people to join them. So that's what the that's what we're all kind of afraid of. What are they going to offer? Some other group. There's another group that I didn't mention called Confederatia. They're confederation, I suppose. Now, they're very, very right-wing, and they were expected to do very good in this election. They were seen as the vote for people who wanted high taxes and low welfare, and they did bad. Now, they were expected to poll about 15%, but they came in at 6.4. So he'll have them in his corner as well. I'm talking about Jarosław Kaczyński, who's he's the leader of the government here. So he's going to get them in his corner as well, and he's going to try and get as many independents as possible as well. So no one really knows yet. It's my own wife is texting me here, and she says she's at work at the moment, and she says I'm dying. She says.
because she's concerned. I mean, what is the best for the country, in your opinion?
The best for the country would be for Donald Tusk to form this coalition, because he's pro-Europe. The current government are anti-Europe. They've been floating the idea of Poland exit for the last year. They're very distrustful of all the countries around them. They have a bad working relationship with Germany. They have a terrible relationship with the Czechs, with everyone around them. The only people that they really get on with are Orban in Hungary, who will be a similar kind of political party, very right wing. He will be similar to them in that there would be no separation of church and state. Really, really harsh anti-abortion laws, to the point where people here are couples are afraid to go and get pregnant and have a baby. Because if there's any fatal fecal abnormalities, well, that's it. It's like Porsa Vita. So that's what they've been promoting here all the time. And what they do to get their vote is they really go to rural Poland, and they give a lot of gifts to rural Poland. To the people who traditionally, over the last 20, 30 years, haven't done so well from Poland being in Europe, or feel they haven't done so well. So that's their electorate, that's their base. And they're very sceptical of modern Poland, they're sceptical of urban Poland, of the big cities, of liberalism. They don't like it at all. So the best thing for the country would be for Donald Tusk to get, you know, to get over the line. He seems to have the numbers. But you just don't know with peace. They're very, very tricky, you know. So we'll find out more, I'd say, in about 3 hours' time, or maybe 4 or 5 hours' time by this evening, anyway, on Tuesday or Tuesday morning. We'll have a better idea, I think.
All right, Panda, thanks for joining us today, and thank you for taking time out of a busy day for you and joining us today. Panda DeBurke, a native of Galway there. Galway City, indeed, joining us there. Keith, the roads are now open after the accident. So that's the Carnard junction there. That's open now. So that should ease the problem on the traffic problems on the N59 from there. And Keith, we have the opportunity of a lifetime to develop that rail line as a greenway for our local communities, with the government allocating 1 million per day to cycling infrastructure. We need to grab it with both hands and go with it from now. We should. We really and truly should. Quick commercial break. We're back just after these. It's 10:43 now. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. It's been a while since there's been a Tuam Town Council, Community Council. We have elected representatives. We've elected representatives in the Tuam district, indeed. But Adele Kincannon joins me because a group of concerned citizens of Tuam have come together to form Tuam Community Council. And they're having a very special meeting on Thursday. We'll give you details about that. But Adele Kincannon sits up to me today. Adele, good morning to you. How are you today?
I am good, Keith. Thanks for having me in.
How did this come about, can I ask you?
Not too complicated. Myself and two or three of the girls just met up one evening, and we did it. Basically just came up with the idea that the town needs this needs to re-establish this Tuam Community Council, because if we ever want to run, I run a gym there in Tuam, but if we ever want to run like classes or anything, like there's loads of little small communities within the town that don't have a central hub to base their activities off. And I suppose that's really where one of the ideas, or that's one of the ideas that basically brought us to this, where we are today.
So you have councillors that are elected, and that's one aspect of this. But you want to broaden this out into the community, so anybody can go along to this meeting then that has an idea to become part of the community.
Yes, yes. So again, it's on Thursday evening at 7:30 up in one of the campuses there for the High Cross College. It was formerly the Mercy Secondary School, so it's in the hall there. But yeah, there's a lot going on in the town. There's, you know, recently there over the summer, the Saw Doctors played a huge gig in the town. And I suppose as well, it just planted the seed that the potential is there, but the collaboration maybe between all of the Tuam Creative Places is one of the groups that's doing great work in the town, but the collaboration between all of the smaller groups isn't really there. And that's what we hope to generate from this. And, you know, Thursday evening will hopefully be the start of something big for the town. And just as you mentioned there, we're just trying to raise awareness. And if anybody, you know, is willing to get involved in the community council, we'll welcome them with open arms. We're just three or four that have got it registered. We're registered. But we just want, I suppose, raise awareness and get energetic, positive people involved.
Yeah, and you have a lot of good people behind you. I won't name names now, but you have a lot of good people that have done a lot for the town that are kind of pushing you forward on this one.
Yeah, we do. We won't mention names. I'm sure one or two of them are listening. But
you won't mention Sister Agnes now.
No. Sister Agnes, in fairness to her, has been such a huge support. Like, we've had many meetings down in her kitchen. But she's been a huge support. She's got massive experience in, you know, this area, as have two or three others that have met with us. And again, I just want to thank those. But without those and their experience, you know, we wouldn't know where to start, because we're not very experienced in this area, but certainly we're energetic and we're willing to push this. In a recent draft plan there for the town, it did mention that the town has a community centre, and it doesn't, in fact. So we want to rectify that. There's many councillors in the town, I won't mention any, but there's many in the town that I know would help us bring that to fruition. We deserve a community centre in the town. We went to one recently there in Galway, just to, you know, give us an idea what, you know, we could bring to the town. And they have, you know, basketball courts there where young people can come in and maybe rent the courts in the evening. We don't have that. We're very reliant on one hall there at St. Pat's. Even just a central base for older people to come in, have a cup of tea or coffee and sit down, you know, in the morning and chat. Just, I suppose, a central hub for the community to gather in.
You're not asking a lot, though. You know, all you want to do is bring like-minded people together to make Toome stronger than it is. It's strong, but you just want to bring the community element into it.
Exactly, yeah. And again, that word collaboration, the population of Toome is around 9,500, and it is just, there's too much potential there to not have an umbrella community, an umbrella council like this. And as I said, it's not that the stuff isn't happening in the town, it's just to bring some more collaboration and, you know, the strength in numbers. If we can tie all of those smaller, the Toome Tidy Towns, the Action Toome, all of these that are doing great work, if we can bring all of those together and just bring about that collaboration.
Active Retired,
yes,
and all the other groups, and yeah, bring young people into it.
100%. Even again, evenings, you know, in the town there's nowhere for kids, you know, to gather. If we had, like, if even, you know, football pitches that belong to the community, an AstroTurf that belongs to the community, basketball courts that belong to the community, drama groups, art groups, all of that, like basically a base where they could go to, it's just lacking at the minute. There's too much potential for a hub like this not to exist in the town.
So it's going to be on what time on Thursday is this meeting taking place?
Again, it's an information evening, and it's at High Cross College in the Mercy School gym, or what was the Mercy School, this Thursday, the 19th of October at 7:30. There's no RSVP or anything like that. You can just show up. And again, in the evening, we just hope to bring awareness to, you know, the people at Toome that the council has been re-established. We just want to introduce the board of the council. Our chairperson there is Caroline Gormley. We have a vacancy in the secretarial area. Thelma Gilmore is our treasurer, and I am the PRO. So we just want to, you know, as well, welcome all new members. We're open to ideas. We'll be handing out little slips there for people to pop some ideas back, give us feedback. We want feedback. It is a community council, and the more people, I suppose, that row in behind this, the better.
Now, it's important to say that you're not charging anything. There's no membership fee. There's nothing. This is just like-minded people coming together.
Yes, exactly. The only thing
for
that
the
you might,
betterment of Toome.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and again, just to repeat, we had such a great weekend there. The time the Saw Doctors was on, I suppose it opened a lot of eyes as well. There's a lot of energetic people in the town, and again, a lot of potential there, and we want to see more of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure. I mean that really and truly, I suppose it gives you a flavour of what can be done.
Exactly. And it's not just, I know I probably come from a sporting background, so I'm mentioning sport examples there, but it's any field really, like just to have a base there for us to, you know, flourish with that, with any of those art, craft.
And are there any facilities like that for young people where they can rent, like you referred when you came into Galway City and so on, what they can rent a pitch or otherwise, yeah?
At the minute, no. Like, really, Toome Stars, I suppose, is flat out up there with them. They've got great facilities, but they're flat out with their own clubs, their own underage. But they have an AstroTurf there, and if you want to rent that, again, it's through Toome Stars. It's private. But like, if you had a, one that was community based. At least if you're paying rent, it's going back to the community again. Like, those facilities could be developed through the rent of that. Like, at the minute, we're paying people privately, essentially.
Yeah, but at least they're facilitating
Which is well done.
All right, so if they want to get further details on this one, so the 19th of October, this coming Thursday night, 7:30 p.m.
Yeah.
And just go along with an open mind.
100%. Can I just put out there as well our email if anyone wants, if you can't make it on the night and you want to contact any of us. TuamCommunityCouncil@gmail.com. We're open to ideas and, you know, the more that get involved and rowing behind this, the better.
TuamCommunityCouncil@gmail.com. IL.com. If they want to get further details from there, they can do so. Listen, well done to you, Dale. Thanks indeed for popping into us today.
I hope
it's a great success and keep in contact with us.
Yeah, we'd love to. I've no doubt it will. It's great potential in Tuam. Thank you, Keith.
Okay, Thursday night, 7:30. They're up in the Mercy. Just follow the crows. Follow them in. How long will it take?
We'd hope it could be maybe. Well, I suppose it depends really how, if there was a. We're hoping to not drag it on too much because we're going to be handing out like deposit boxes basically. If you have any ideas or suggestions, you pop them into the box and we'll meet again a few weeks later, but it'll be no more than an hour.
All right. Thank you, Eddie, for joining us today on the programme. Again, further details can be had if you want to email them. TuamCommunityCouncil@gmail.com. Adele, thanks for joining us today. I was at Mass last evening indeed in St. Augustine's Church in Galway City, but I was early for the Mass, so I was sitting in the car outside Osnam House there, and there was three young men that weren't 12 years of age, causing absolute mayhem on the road. They were in tracksuits, young, well-dressed young men, but no more than what his dad said, they need to put their energies into something or go play football or otherwise. But they were running up and down and screeching and roaring along St. Augustine Street there. It discommoded a few people as well. Now, look, they were boys were being boys, but a little bit more. They were going up and down the steps indeed of the presbytery in the St. Augustine's Church there as well. Then they were run to the Erskine Shopping Centre back and forth. I was sitting in the car, just waiting to go into Mass at 6:30. But they were they were a bit boisterous. Maybe you came across them. If you did, feel free to text us, please, to the following number if you want to. It's 086 38 33 55 3. We have some further details coming out of that situation in Carnard. And I'll give you those comments just after the news. Now, let's head towards the 11 o'clock news and death notices. And we'll talk to the other side of that. But again, 086 38 33 55 3 if you want to get in contact with us.